minute early.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for July 18th, 2017. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutterback, Rasmussen, and Camp.
Thank you. And before we begin, Councilmember Hanford is not here this evening. We received word of that last week. And Councilmember Davis and Gamble will go ahead and mark for the record when they come in. And with that, Councilmember Cutterback, will you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is under announcements and presentation. And tonight we have a swearing-in ceremony for our new narcotics canine, Sam. Chief Quinzer.
Sam. Come on, Sam.
Don't kill Sam.
Is he going to lift up a little paw?
First of all, I would say that Sam should raise his right paw and hold the they didn't cover that in mission training. So I'll just go ahead and quickly read what I have. Looks like it's kind of anxious. Okay, tonight the department would like to introduce our newest narcotics canine, Sam. Sam and his handler, Officer Devin Tucker, completed 200 hours of instruction, receiving the narcotics detector dog handler certificate on June 28, 2017. Sam was selected by Officer Tucker from several trained narcotics canines. The relationship between a canine and their handler is very important, and Sam was a front runner right from the start with Officer Tucker. Sam is our first narcotics canine that is not trained to detect marijuana after the recent changes in the laws. Officer Tucker and Canine Sam had their first alert on July 6th, their very first night on the job. Monroe police officers were out in a suspicious vehicle in a parking lot and asked Officer Tucker and Canine Sam to contact them. Canine Sam was led around the vehicle, alerted on the rear driver's side door. This led to an impoundment of the vehicle with a pending search warrant. At the time of the search warrant, officers recovered a large amount of drug paraphernalia and baggies containing white crystal substance, which later tested positive for methamphetamine. Stolen merchandise was also recovered. Three persons were charged with various drug and theft-related charges. Please help me congratulate Officer Patrick, K9 Sam, what is sure to be the first of many successful narcotics finds for our agency.
Thank you very much, Chief.
Is he alerting? Is that what that is?
Tell him to sit. It might look weird.
Sam the killer.
Oh, okay. No, he's running away from me. That's good.
Balance.
Oh, he's running away.
What's going on?
He's running away.
I guess if he doesn't stop at you, that's a good thing.
He smells the
yeah.
cat.
I think Sam's working. Hey, Sam.
Well, I love my dog.
Thank you very much. All right, the next item we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Nobody has signed in. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Is anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing nobody, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council members. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen. We have a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Before I ask for the vote, please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has just entered chambers. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Councilmember Gamble, I'm sure you heard it on the way in, but I'll state it so that it's heard on the record. A motion has been made and seconded for the consent agenda. Is there any discussion on the consent agenda? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I did have one question. What is Cotton Sack LLC? In the bills. Cotton Sack LLC? I'm just not familiar with them.
I'll have to look it up for you.
Okay.
I'll email you the answer.
Great, thank
you. I'll have to look at my email the answer for you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Is that information that you'd like before voting on this item? Okay. All right. Are there any other questions or comments from council members? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of the motion to approve the consent agenda, say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda this evening is new business, item number one. This is AB 17-118, ordinance number 018, 2017, amending MMC 14.01 flood hazard area regulations for first reading. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. The city is a member of the National Flood Insurance Program, and as such, we are required in order to maintain our membership in that program, which allows people in the city of Monroe to purchase flood insurance. Have our ordinances and regulations comply with the Code of Federal Regulations. And every once in a while, either the federal government or the state of Washington comes out to audit our program. And last time we were out, they found a few discrepancies in our regulations, and so they requested us to modify this and apply. And those included adding density fringe regulations. This area is unique, and I think the entire country is from the Snohomish River from here to Snohomish. They weren't able to determine where the floodway was, so they created what's called the density fringe, which allows anybody to fill 10% of their property in the floodplain, as opposed to only allowing fill outside of the floodway. So we added regulations covering that. We amended the basis for establishing the area as a special flood hazard area because they have still not got around to adopting the maps that they created in 2007. They're hoping to have them adopted in 2019, so just to clarify which maps we were actually using. We added amended the definition for substantial development, required water wells to be located outside of floodways, and added a severability section. And so, since this can be construed to be a development regulation, even though it's not specifically called out for in the Monroe Municipal Code, this went through the public review process with the Planning Commission held a public hearing. And that's the extent of my remarks. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah. Council members, do any council members have any questions, or is there a motion? Council member Cutaback.
Brad, did it change the map panels? Like, do we add, or is it?
No, this the map panels are still the same. We'll have to do this again in 2019 when the new map panels get finally adopted by FEMA.
Okay, so that's okay. That was one of my questions. And then the density fringe areas within the city of Monroe, they're regulated the same, like...
Basically what it says is, relative to the about 14 pages that the county has of filling 10% and all this kind of stuff, we just made it very simple and said it is considered to be a floodway. And basically what you have to do is do a study to show that whatever work you do in that area will not raise the base flood elevation. So will not raise the water. And it only applies to the old Panalesta block plant up on ground floors. The two mobile homes that are mobile office ready that are south of that, and the park.
Okay, so I was wondering where that applied to. And then when it went through Planning Commission, it didn't appear that anyone came and spoke at all. Okay, all right, those were my questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, or is there a motion? Councilmember Cutaback.
I'll make a motion. Move to accept as first reading ordinance number 018, 2017, amending chapter 14.01 of the Monroe Municipal Code, flood hazard area regulations, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action as written in Agenda Bill number AB 17-118. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 17-119, discussion. No parking at cluster mailboxes. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. We recently had a request from someone up in the farm to post their mailbox poster with no parking because they had neighbors parking for the mailbox, and the post office, after a couple times, stops delivering your mail if there's somebody parking for it, and we got off the fence in. We've discussed this before. Most recently, it was in 2013, but before that, 2003, again, 2003, beginning of 2004, this ordinance was brought before the city council to prohibit parking within 15 feet of mailbox clusters from 10 feet by, I believe it was. That was not adopted at first reading, but it's tabled up for the second reading. And then it also came up again in 2013, at which time the city council said that the homeowners association just kind of take care of it themselves and look to the east part of the farm, which actually the homeowners association just put little signs on the mailbox clusters that said, don't park in our mailboxes. And then that's the last time we heard about that. My question was getting somebody's brought it forward, and council mentioned that they'd like to discuss it again, so it is before you for discussion.
All right, thank you. We've got a couple lights here. Councilmember Gamble?
So I did notice that we did, was it us or was it the homeowners association? This is right around the corner from me.
Okay.
But, painted the...
The homeowner did that.
The homeowner did, so painted it red in front of the... And I haven't seen a car parked there since. It's very similar to when we discussed this in 2013, if you remember, that as soon as we put some sort of, and it was the homeowners association that did it, I do recall that. So that, you know, the piece that we always come back to on this is enforcement. So that's one of those things that, you know, I don't know. Typically, once we put, you know, whether it's the HOA or somebody puts something up and says, please do not park in front of it, you know, it kind of takes care of it itself. If we, you know, we draw a hard line, and I guess the question would be to the chief and the police department on, you know, what that, you know, type of, I mean, we have an enforcement officer now. We didn't have that back in 2013, right? So, I mean, that would be, you know, kind of the question there. I also question the post office on this, because the claim is that they can't, they'll stop delivering mail because they have to get out of their vehicle, correct? They have to get out of these anyway, because they put the mail in from the back, so you can't deliver mail to the mailbox without exiting the vehicle and walking around. So that doesn't make sense to me, but we just... A couple thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
So, Brad, I know this is a while ago, December 2003, but it looked like the motion to for the first reading and the ordinance passed 6-0, and then when they came back in December, a couple weeks later, they just tabled it. What was the, do you remember what was the change? Was it the cost?
I don't remember.
Okay.
No, and the minutes didn't say why.
Yeah, I mean, it passed 6-1, and then it was, I mean, that's a switch in a couple weeks, so
will
I didn't know.
Will
if
you
was
yield
any
for a comment? If you look in the document under February 4th, 2004, near the bottom, it says council discussion. Where is it? If you'd like more information, it was going to cost so much money, and councilperson Zimmerman and Fry decided to table the ordinance due to the cost.
Yeah, that was in February.
Yeah.
Councilmember Cuddeback, you still have the floor. I'm just going to go ahead and make a note for the record. Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers just now at 7:13. Good evening. Go ahead, Councilmember Cuddeback.
So, Brad, the painting the curb red, because, I mean, if you paint, if the city paints curb red, that means no parking at any time. At least that's what the documents say. So, is staff recommending allow homeowners to paint curbs red on their own?
No.
Okay. So I guess that to me was part, I mean, I understand it solved the issue, but is that something we want to promote, that homeowners are painting curbs? We suggested getting a sign and putting it up at the mailbox. Do you know if that worked in Stanton Meadows when they came in 2013?
It worked in the east.
Yeah, that was up by my neighborhood.
Yeah, that seemed to work.
Yeah, we don't have a problem in our neighborhood. There is a sign up on there that was posted, but didn't, that was a suggestion for Stanton Meadows. I hadn't heard any feedback whether that worked or not. And then here we are again with this. I guess I'm not necessarily in favor of homeowners painting curbs red on their own. That could get out of control. So, and this keeps coming back. And I understand about the enforcement issue. I get that. But I think we might, at this point, need to come up with something that helps residents and citizens and allows them to get their mail. And I can't speak for the post office, but whether they get in or out, but this has bubbled up a few times. And that's just coming when people have come to council and complained. We don't know how many people have not come to council and complained that have said this is a pain. People keep parking in front of the mailboxes. So does staff have a recommendation at all?
We actually, before that gentleman painted his curb red, we actually had some signs made that said, please do not block mailboxes or parking for mailboxes or something like that.
Okay.
That one, so it's the idea, you know, we can hand those out to the homeowners and make it attaching them to their mailbox clusters.
Okay, because what I saw in the notes was the post office actually highlighted or picked out a few problem areas.
That was
a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So do we know what the problem, have we contacted them and said, are there problem areas now?
No.
Okay. Because that might be a way to go, is to contact the post office and ask them, are there problem areas, and then maybe give them the signs and see if that works, versus allowing homeowners to brand or us doing a code or doing an ordinance that we can enforce.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I would agree with almost everything you've said. Especially with the citizens painting the curbs red in Frylands, there are certain areas where there are people who have parking issues, and they will post no parking signs either in the grass or actually on the street to prevent people from parking. I'd hate to see a series of red curbs all over Frylands, basically taking over and setting their own parking restrictions. Our neighborhood, we I guess are fortunate, we have a fire hydrant right next to the mailboxes, so we have a red curb on it. You've got a sign, right? I keep coming back to that there's a sign that's on your mailbox that says don't park here. Does it work?
Yes.
Okay.
People might pull up and grab their mail, but they don't park there.
Yeah, everybody I've seen does that to one extent or another. But if that is an option, I'd rather, and finding out from the post office where the trouble areas are, so we can localize the problem, deal with it, makes more sense. How citizen painting curbs is going to be handled, I don't know, some sort of an enforcement issue on that, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work over something, but my concern is that we're going to end up with red curbs all over the city if you just don't want to make sure that you have a parking spot for your RV on the day you're heading out for vacation. Anyway, that's my point. Thank you.
Okay. So I've had two council members express an interest in contacting the post office. So we'll go ahead and contact the post office and see if there are problem areas. We'll go ahead and continue addressing the lights. Councilmember Gamble and then Councilmember Scarborough. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement. I don't think we should be out painting, but what I was referencing is that when that citizen came, we basically said, take mitigation measures.
Right.
Now, we didn't spell that out. We said signs, that sort of thing.
Right.
So they basically, so yeah, I mean, that's an offshoot of the direction that we gave the citizen. So I would, you know, that's something that we need to take ownership of, right? So I don't disagree there. All I'm basically I was saying though is that mitigation does seem to be working in every instance that we have it. So whether it's Brad saying, hey, we're going to have, you know, signs on hand, whatever the case may be, because the one thing I will say is that if we, you know, I would be much more inclined, if we were going to look at something, to look at something like we had back in 2003, where it was during hours, because some of these neighborhoods are pretty tight. You have a get-together on your street or a dead end, and, you know, it's...
Nothing.
Yeah, there's no parking. So you're after 5 o'clock, and someone's going to park there from 5 or, you know, 7 o'clock until 10 for a dinner, you know, get-together or whatever, and they come out and their car's towed when there's really no reason, right? Because it's just when the mail's being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something right there. So, yeah, I think reaching out, finding do we have problem, you know, issues, but it does appear to me that... And then also, I guess the other thing I would ask for is, you know, what is an enforcement, you know, look like then? What's the cost from an enforcement perspective in regards to that? Some of that would be useful information.
Okay. We'll add that to the list then, getting some information about enforcement. Anything further? Councilmember Scarborough.
If we're not careful, if we do an ordinance saying you can't park there, that's one thing, and we'll be talking about enforcement. And if we allow people to paint, we'll be having an ordinance that says you can't paint it yourself, and we'll have to be enforcing that. So we're kind of between the rock and the hard place. So I agree with both Councilman Gamble and Councilman Cutterback about finding out where the problems are and then pursuing an answer.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything, any additional information on this? All right, what I'm understanding then is that we are going to go back and get information from the post office about problem areas. We will also get staff's read on enforcement. And when we contact the post office, we'll also ask about hours. I know that they deliver on Sundays now because of Amazon. I spoke with our postal carrier in our subdivision and asked her why she was out on a Sunday, and she said she was out because they're just delivering Amazon on Sunday. So, all right. We will then go ahead and schedule this for a future council meeting for further discussion. And thank you very much, everybody. Next item on the agenda this evening is... Councilmember reports. And Councilmember Cutterback, you didn't attend the Community Transit Board meeting, or did you?
I did.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, I attended July 6th. I wasn't here last week. I was on vacation, so...
July 6th. Got it.
Let's see. What was on the agenda? They had an introduction to Snowpack, which is a private public transportation agency, and it's they funded a position for an executive director by PSRC, and basically it's a coordination of transportation services between public and private organizations, and what they're focused on is trying to have equitable access and really look at making sure there's transportation in underserved areas. There was also an introduction to transit police. They had a new transit police officer that they introduced. So that was, and then they had the groundbreaking, I think that morning, of the Green Line in the Seaway Transit Center. So that was a big deal. They had a lot of people out there and were doing that same day. For finance, their bonds were rated AAA. So that was really positive. Sales tax was up $286,000 so far, I think for the month. Gas in 2016 was $2.20 a gallon. This year it's $1.67, so they're seeing considerable savings in gas and increased sales tax. So the transit budget is incredibly healthy. When the CEO gave his report, he talked about really they're trying to reach out for coach operator hiring. They're struggling trying to find really good staff. It seems like they have staff that stay there for a long, long time because they do service awards every meeting. So there's staff that are there for 25, 30 years. It's pretty impressive. Talked about the Green Line and all of that. They approved a labor contract was approved, one of theirs, so that was good. And we have a board kind of quarterly information kind of training this Thursday, July 20th.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and go down the line. Councilmember Gamble.
My report, other than coming back from dropping my son off at camp on Sunday, coming on Highway 2 eastbound was a little more exciting on Sunday than on normal days. I'm sure the chief will give us an update on that one there, maybe not.
An accurate report.
Accurate report. Close to the Everett Herald. And then just excited, you know, for this week, Farmers Market on Wednesday, and then the Music on the Park on Friday. Nate Botsford, I don't know if you've heard of the artist, but I went on and listened to a lot of his stuff on YouTube, and really good, kind of an indie folk rock. So really looking forward to getting to see that on Friday, since I missed the first couple there out of town. And then this weekend is also another, parks will be in full use for a Legends tournament, the local Sky Valley select travel teams will have their, they believe it's 10U through 12U tournaments. So that's it.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Really not much. I attended the homeless meeting this afternoon at the library. A great presentation by the city staff. Sergeant Irving gave a very good explanation on really how homeless individuals are treated, and the deputy chief gave me a very good explanation on how we handle intransigent, that's how you pronounce it, people who are really not ready for the treatment and the help that they need. So all in all, it's really good. And like you said, parks are in full bloom, and everybody's doing something. And that's it for me.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
I have nothing.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Again, great week, great couple weeks for our market. Weather's held out like it should. Another one on Saturday last week, which was even better. So look forward to them again tomorrow and music and on Friday.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
So I've been gone, obviously on vacation. Went hiking last week at Dungeness Spit, and went to Leavenworth on Friday and floated down the river. So if you haven't done that, it was a lot of fun. I did ask the mayor, I think before I left on vacation, just to gather some information on the calls for 4th of July.
Yep, we had.
Yeah, so I don't know if we got that last week maybe, or...
Yeah, but we'll make certain we get that information to you.
Okay, I'm just curious, because up in the farm it was pretty crazy. I think we had a fire up there. Luckily it was just on trees. I sent a video to the mayor. We had fire trucks up there a couple times. I had many neighbors commenting about that it was, you know, out of control, too much. Police were up there a few times, EMTs were up there, so I just wanted to get a sense of kind of what happened. So if I can get that information, that would be great.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Not a whole lot to add. I do have a question that maybe you can help me with the staff. And the property that's for sale at the corner on Kelsey and at the railroad tracks?
Yes.
Is that the old place where the railroad station was, or was it over by the bowling alley? Question Mr. Perry might be able to answer. The other question I have, has the post office ever done anything with us about building a newer, better, more parking, better post office?
We'll have staff look into those and get back to you.
And my comment would be, maybe there's a partnership that could be had to have a new post office with a train station at that lot on Kelsey, because we talked about us being actually a train stop that never happened, because probably nobody knows where to go get the train. But there's a lot of people that come out of here and go to Wenatchee, come back and use the train, or they go one way and buy a car and come back. So I just wondered if that's something we might look into to enhance our community. Fireworks, same concern in our neighborhood, not to mention the fact that it drives the animals nuts. It burns houses down. I had one at the bottom of our hill that's being vacated now so they can clean it up, because the fireworks went off in the tree next to the house. But more than that is the people that start on the 2nd and go all the way through the 4th and maybe the 5th, and just maybe one or two just to get them, because I had them left over or something. I know we had the gala was in here a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago with her concern with Allison and 167th, and said that somebody got a permit to close the street so they could run off fireworks. Can somebody tell me if we give permits to close streets so citizens can put off fireworks? And if we do that, might we want to look at that? That's all I got.
Go ahead.
We do give, we do have permits that the Parks Department manages to close streets for community, for neighborhood events. It's not for setting off fireworks, it's for a neighborhood event. It may be that at that neighborhood event, some people put out fireworks, but that's not the intent of why we do a street closure. We do it for a 4th of July neighborhood activity.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll go down to staff. We have a presentation this evening. Our parks director is not here, so we will not have that presentation this evening, but we do have an update from Mr. Swanson for community development. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. So in addition to what's typically your monthly shop report in your packet, the development map, I want to update you that Planning Commission did a field trip yesterday. And so we started in Monroe, went to Columbia Crossing, which is right here on Columbia Shore, Columbia Street, and then Columbia Street. And then we went up to the Main View Home Developments. And so on your map, those are L, D, and C in those areas. And I wanted to give Planning Commission two different views of two different types of builders. And so with the Columbia Crossing, more of a local builder, lives in the area, smaller company. And then up there on the ridge, you're looking at more nationwide, your big home builders that span across several states as opposed to counties. And so they saw kind of the difference, and especially with some of the smaller home builders, where they'll take and design a structure to the lot as opposed to a lot to the structure. And when you get these nationwide, so they have these just packages of preset plans. There's pros and cons to both, and we just wanted to go through and review and look at some of the requirements and how some of the plots were laid out. And then after that, we headed down to Duval because they wanted a community where they had a highway that ran through it and thought it had a lot of similarities to Monroe as far as the setup. And so we briefly stopped in downtown so we could show them what Duval looked like originally, kind of the old town area, similar to right down here. And then how things kind of progressed, we went up and we saw some newer developments in different stages. We gave them an idea of setbacks up there and how they worked and some open space requirements. Yeah, just giving a different view and a different taking from a separate community. And so overall, I thought it was pretty beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone seemed to enjoy it. We had a full attendance by all 7 planning commissioners. And they got back here about 9:30 and then worked by listening. So overall, I thought things went well. And then just also wanted to update you today. I know Councilmember Camp noted the affordable housing group today. So I want to follow up with them. I know Mr. Bloss had come in and provided testimony regarding the comprehensive plan amendment, and I had stated something about I didn't feel it was necessary and energy should go towards the code, and I went today to follow up on that. I didn't want to think I disagreed with their whole intent of what they want to do. It's very noble what they want to do, so went and had a good discussion today. About some ways of moving forward and their level of involvement in developing any future code. And now is the time, since we're going through this major code amendment, if we're going to be looking at it, we should be looking at it as a holistic package as opposed to these things. That's all.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Ben, I'm sorry, but I forgot to include you when I was talking about the attendance of the homeless thing. As soon as you walked up, I thought, oh, man. Especially with the grilling you got from former Councilmember Balk concerning some of the issues and for homeless and affordable housing. So, anyway, great job today, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We'll now go through staff. Mr. Worthen.
Councilmember.
Deputy Chief, I'll catch the Chief. Mr. Swanson, anything further?
No.
Okay. Ms. Hassert.
So the state auditors are now on site. They showed up yesterday, and they will be here for a little bit doing our single audit as well as our accountability audit for fiscal year 16. So far, so good. But they're in the process of planning their work plan right now. So we'll see how that goes. They will be contacting Councilman Rasmussen to do a risk assessment as part of the audit that they do each year.
Public Works is kind enough to give them a tour of our facility today. So they're getting a little moment for us to see if that helps too. I gave a very, what seemed like a well-received presentation last night at the Downtown Monroe Association, with the mayor's blessing, talking about retail sales taxes and how it's very important to the city and to our stability for being able to pay for basic services. A lot of them told me afterwards it was real eye-opening for them to realize just how little of the actual sales tax rate is here locally.
Yeah.
Along with property taxes, quite frankly. So, good discussion. And if anybody's interested in that, we are posting it to the website under the finance department section.
So. Thank you. Mr. Feldberg.
Just one thing, tomorrow the county will be out chip sealing, West Creek Road, Country Crescent, 171st, and Elizabeth Street.
Okay.
So, hear about that. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chief Quinzer.
Well, a couple things. Actually, I don't have one thing, but someone mentioned it. On Sunday evening, the Somers County Sheriff's Department had a call in reference to a hostage situation. They got behind the vehicle, westbound from the Salton area, and pursuit started. They attempted to use a spike strip, and they were not successful in spiking the car. And as the car entered Monroe, one of our officers spiked the car. The car continued on to, I believe it was Kelsey and SR2, where it made a left turn, went across the railroad tracks, and now the county did a pit maneuver on it. The car came to a stop, and our officers placed the individual under arrest. And female hostage was successfully rescued. It was a matter of the suspect was attempting some type of suicidal type operation, I guess. And that's what the story turned out to be. And on a better note, July 25th, I'm surprised someone didn't bring it up.
How's one for you?
There'll be coffee with the cops at the Boys and Girls Club at. And you're all there.
Time?
What time is it? 10?
Only 10. Only coffee?
What?
Yes, just coffee. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Whoa. We'll be clear. It's. There's also kid-friendly beverages as well.
Decaf, right?
Right.
Councilmember Cutterback, what you're missing is last meeting he invited everybody to come drink Kool-Aid. So I said,
oh.
Yeah,
right.
Come drink the Boys and Girls Club Kool-Aid.
All right, let's go ahead and come on up here. Monroe This Week is in your packets. One thing that's not in there, I attended the Puget Sound Regional Council Economic Development District last week, and happy to say that Pierce County had come forward with some comments that we could get behind. Some of the comments were very similar to some of the comments that I had shared with them before about making certain that growth and economic development is focused in urban growth areas, and to make certain that it was clear that it's not just in the contiguous urban growth area or the metropolitan area down along I-5 and 405. And as everybody else has noted, great concert on Friday. We had a lot of events on Saturday. And great job, Chief, with us bringing down the car. I'm happy our spike strip deployed correctly. Mr. Mosley.
Yes, just to go through upcoming meetings. We have a very light agenda for July 25th. However, one of the items, which is the wastewater treatment plant outfall repair project contract, is very time sensitive since there's only a window of time when we can do work in the river with the fish issues. So we will have we are requesting council have a meeting on the 25th so that we can approve that contract and meet that fish window. No meeting on the 1st, as National Night Out event, and then on the 8th, there are several items for a presentation on the 8th, and that number is likely to grow. So that's the council agendas for the next 3 weeks.
Thank so we you, do Mayor. Have a need. Thank you. We do have a need for an executive session this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
No, I just, as of right now, August 8th, I'm scheduled to be out of town on business, but that is tentative. So, but I would put down that as of right now, I'll be scheduled to miss that meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
It is customary to actually have a motion to cancel the August 1st meeting.
Didn't realize we hadn't done that yet.
Council would like to do that.
Thank you. Is there a motion to cancel the August 1st meeting? Councilmember Camp?
I move to cancel the August 1st meeting.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Camp. Second, was it Councilmember?
Doesn't matter.
Gamble?
Sure.
Okay. Didn't hear who the other person was. All those in favor of canceling the August 1st meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Oh, thank you. Any discussion?
5-0 or 6-0?
Let's go with 6-0. Yeah.
Too different.
All right. Okay, so we do have a need for an executive session this evening. This is for potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, for approximately 15 minutes with potential action to follow. All right. And thank you very much, everybody.
Just.
Thank you.
I won. I can barely look for 12, Michael. Our 12,
yeah, there.
Okay.
12 and they're rinsing
okay.
together.
Ready? Okay, we're back in session. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I move to add an item to the agenda regarding the authorization of the mayor to execute a confidentiality and common interest agreement with the Monroe School District.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Camp to add an item to the agenda this evening. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the confidentiality and common interest agreement with the Monroe School District and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
The first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Gamble to authorize the mayor to sign a confidentiality and common interest agreement as he stated. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. We have no other business for this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble. Second from Councilmember, who was that? Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We're adjourned. See you, Dave.